Happy evening, everybody. This is Pam Stack, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Tonight, I have a very special guest. Her name is PJ Fiala. PJ writes Romance on Wheels, about Harleys and heartbreakers and heroes. I can't wait for you to talk to her. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. You're here. This is the first of two shows tonight with very different authors. We're kicking off with our first headliner, PJ Fiala, who writes romantic suspense. She has an interesting backstory. Let me tell you a little bit about her. When you hear her talk, you're going to understand. She is definitely a Wisconsin girl, but she moved to a farm when she was 13. The whole family up and moved and learned to milk cows and bale hay. This is a city kid now learning how to do all this stuff. It was really, really interesting. But now she's acclimated to it. She loves it, even though she doesn't like the snow too much. I don't blame her. As most of you know, I live in Southwest Florida. I'm not a snow girl. but she and her husband have their own Harleys, and they travel all over by motorcycle. And I love that, because that's also the theme of her books. It is my pleasure to welcome to Authors on the Air best-selling author PJ Fiala. PJ, thank you so much for agreeing to come on my show tonight. How are you?
I'm great, and thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
It's my pleasure. Is it still cold in Wisconsin?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it snowed today. I'm looking out the window at no driveway. It's covered up again, so there we are. March.
You know, it was so hot today. It was so hot in Southwest Florida that I have on a sleeveless tee and shorts, and I was just like pulling the t-shirt from my skin, and I was just so perspiring so bad. And I'm thinking, it's only March 1st. That's not right. That's not right. So there must be one of those happy places in the middle. I always think it's San Diego, where the weather is always just beautiful. And,
yes.
You know, it is gorgeous there, but I'm not a snow girl either, I have to tell you. So I understand you're not ever acclimating to it. do you still live on a farm, or do you live in the city now?
We live just about a mile out of De Pere, which is a suburb of Green Bay. And so we're in a beautiful little subdivision. We have we live on a cul-de-sac with only six houses. We all have a couple of acres, but yet we're just a mile from Walmart and the grocery store. And so we're close, but we're far. It's nice.
It sounds idyllic. It sounds wonderful. I'm trying to imagine little PJ Fiala, or PJ, whatever your unmarried name was at the time, on the farm at, you know, 13 or however young you were. 13, I think you said, when you moved there.
13.
How you went from cows to Harleys to books. And there has to be some kind of connection in there. So let's talk about that for a minute, because then I want to go on to something that really interests me. Tell me, where's the connection?
You know, I've always wanted to be a writer. And just from a little girl on, I always thought, someday I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book. And I used to think that all the time. And when I got married, when I met my husband and got married, it became a running joke with us. He'd say, well, there's something you can put in a book someday. And then he would say, we've been married 32 years now. Like, he would say over the years, when are you going to write that book? And I said, I don't have anything to write about, really. I mean, it's just sort of a pie-in-the-sky idea. And he said, are you kidding? We've had so many experiences. You could write about those for the rest of your life and fill up books. And I was just never found the courage. And I was in a bad job. I hated it. The only way I'm ever going to get out of here is if I take my world into my own hands and do something for myself. And I sat down and started writing. And my first book, which is Designing Samantha's Love, I wrote that in about 6 months. It took a long time for me to get it all out there and publish that one. And from there on, I was finished with that book, and it was like, well, now what? And we do a lot of charity rides in the summer. We were standing on a deck at a bar. There was an outside deck. And I was looking around at all of my friends. I mean, all these people that we have biked with over the years. And my best friend and her husband have been married and divorced and then remarried each other. And they were standing there talking to another set of friends of ours who had just done the same thing. They had married, divorced, and they had just gotten remarried again. And I was watching them talk to each other, and I thought, well, there's two stories right there. And then I looked over, and there was another couple that had gone through some tumultuous thing. And my husband walked up and stood next to me and said, what are you doing? And I said, look at all the stories out there. And he said, now you've got it. And so I started writing the Rolling Thunder series, and I haven't stopped.
Congratulations. It's a huge success. Your books are just, I love your book covers, by the way. So, and that's really, really important, by the way, to listeners who tell me this all the time. Listeners and readers always say, you know, if the book cover is cruddy, they don't want anything to do with it. And I agree. I'm a very visual person, so even if I read on an ebook, I'm still drawn in by a really good cover. So, and yours are really well done and really set the mood for your book. So congratulations on that. Were you a reader also, PJ, when you were growing up?
Always, always. I just wrote a blog post about it. I can remember vividly as a young kid walking to the bookmobile. That was a big deal. It was Saturday morning, and we got to walk to the bookmobile, and we got to check out three books. And I remember always couldn't wait to get there before everybody else so that I could get the three books that I wanted. And that was always like the highlight of my week was Saturday morning bookmobile.
It's really interesting that you said that. Our house always had books. My mother was an avid reader. It was not until I think I was in one of my first apartments. You know, I was a young woman at the time, and when I found out about the bookmobile, and I was thinking, I read so many books, and I read them so fast that I'm spending all this money. I'm going to start getting books from the library. And so years pass, all right, and now I'm over here. I grew up in Miami. Now I'm over here on the west coast of Florida. And I had gone through a divorce, but right down the street from me was a brand-new library. And the county where I live is one of the finest library systems ever. As a matter of fact, in a few weeks they're having their Southwest Readers Fest, which is always a blast because really great names come. You know, Lori Wilde is coming, and Colin Campbell, who Greg Hurwitz, Mark Rainey. There's so many really great authors coming. Cassandra King. So I walked down to that library and said, I want to get a library card, and the lady said, sure. And she said, I said, how many books can I check out? Thinking, because I read about 400 books a year, so I thought, oh, God, I'm back here every day, practically. She said, oh, no, you can check out 50 books in 30 days. I was in heaven. I was absolutely in heaven because it didn't matter to me if the book was a paperback or a hardcover or if it was large print, which, you know, when you get older, that's even better. Didn't matter to me. I was so excited that I would take my recyclable grocery bags in there, and I would check out as many books as I can. And just got in the habit from when I used to read Agatha Christie of reading books in order. Not that in Agatha Christie you had to, but it always just seemed to make sense to me. So I'd order one author's every single book that they ever wrote, and I would read them in order, and then I'd go on to the next author. Crazy, and I still do that. So when I first heard about you, I had to go and look and find out which was your first book before I could – I had to read it like that. I know that must sound crazy to you, but because I know your books are standalones, but they're all connected. So, and I know I don't have to read them in order of publication, but I do anyway. So,
I like that.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I feel like, here's the thing. You tell me how you feel about this. I like when I'm reading a group of books that are part of a series. It may not be an ordered series, but the characters are all connected somehow. So that if I read one book and you mention a character from the prior book, I'm going to say, I remember that. And maybe you're going to mention a few other new characters, and I'm always wondering, I wonder if the author's going to write about that character. Do you do that with your book?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
You do.
And I've had readers write me and say, when are you going to write a story about this couple? I want to know more about them.
Interesting. When you are writing your stories, I know that obviously you have your main couple, you have your main characters. Do you have them fully fleshed out before you start adding in the other characters?
I do. I like to know who they are. So I start off with writing a character interview with each character, my male and my female. And I start off writing a story just like if, just as you and I are sitting here talking now, as if they were talking, and asking them questions and having them answer. And it kind of gives me an idea of who that character is. Doesn't mean that throughout the story little tidbits won't happen, won't come to light, but at least before we start, I know a little bit about them or what they liked as a child or what their favorite color was or what made them who they are.
Interesting. Do you have a clear picture of who your characters are? In other words, can you visualize your hero and your heroine?
I can, yeah. And I start with pictures. You know, I like to have, like, I start a Pinterest board for each book when I start writing because I'm very visual. And so I like to have an idea of what I think this character might look like or what this outfit, if I'm going to describe an outfit, there'll be an outfit on that Pinterest board of the outfit I'm describing so that when, for readers too, but whenever I'm writing, I'll go back to that Pinterest board and look and say, that's right. They remodeled their kitchen and she put those cabinets in now. And so I have a very visual idea of their houses, their outfits, their vehicles, their, what they look like, what they like. If somebody likes, and I think it's in, one of my books, I think it's Designing Samantha's Love, she liked apricot jam. And so I have apricot jam on my Pinterest board.
It's a heck of a way to keep track rather than having like a character, a book for your of characters, you know, a storybook. And I don't mean people have to understand what I'm saying, a book. It's like having a theater book. Rather than having a book, you actually have it for everyone to see. That's a really great idea. I love the idea. Would you please give your Pinterest address, please, the web address for Pinterest?
Oh, sure. It's the www.pinterest.com. And I'm just going to check it here to make sure, but I believe then it's just let me pull it up here just to make sure. I don't want to do it wrong.
Okay. It should be /PJ Fiala, right?
I think it's Patty Fiala, but I want to double check it. So
okay.
That's why I'm going to check.
Because I'd like to go and I want to go and see what you how you visualize your characters versus how I visualize them. Do you use photos of actors generally when you're, or do you use stock photos that you find, you know, just images that you find on the internet?
Most of the time I'll start with an actor. And actually, just while we're on this subject, it's Pinterest.com/Patti, PATTIS as in Frank, IALA.
Perfect. Okay, I'm going to follow your Pinterest board so I can go and look at it too. Wonderful. So you start with an actor, but you may or may not change what the character looks like. So here's my question. Because it's something I always wanted to know. Sometimes I see this gorgeous guy and this beautiful woman on a cover of a book, but when I'm reading their story, they don't match what the characters look like on the cover of the book. Does that mean anything? Is that necessary? Should they look like the characters in the book?
Well, I think so. I mean, I always tell my cover designer that looking for pictures is a time suck, because I will look and look and look and look, but I want the characters to look like I think they look. And it's hard sometimes, you know, if you're using stock photos, and until I can get to a point where I can afford to just have photo shoots, and I hope to do that someday, and then I'll actually pick the models and have the photo shoots. But until I get to that point, I'm stuck with what's available to me. So I will look and look. But yes, I think they should look, because when I'm reading a book, I will flip back to that cover over and over again when they're describing the character and see if I think they look like that on the cover.
I do too. It's so funny you said that. It's so funny you said that. I just read this one book. The lead character was a bad guy, but he was a good guy. He was one of those, you know, anti-heroes.
Mm-hmm.
The cover just matched so well. And the way he was described in the book just blew me away. So I agree with you. I think that the characters on the cover should look like the description of the characters in the book. How do you choose your character names?
I have a couple groups on Facebook. We have, I call them the Road Queens, PJ Fiala's Road Queens, a takeoff on the Harley Davidson Road King. And I'll ask them. I'll just say, hey, who wants to help me name a character? I'll give them maybe a description of what he might look like, maybe a little bit of information that I have about him, and I let my followers name my characters.
That's fantastic. What a great idea. And do they generally agree with you? Do they agree with you when you finally choose the character name?
I guess I've never really had anyone say, you know, that they were disappointed in a character. As a matter of fact, the book I'm writing right now, I have a character that's going to be of an ethnic background, and I'm not sure if he's maybe part Hispanic, part Italian, what his ethnicity is, and it doesn't really matter. But I know that he's darker complected with deep, dark eyes, and I typed that into my Facebook group, and I said, and he may or may not be a bad guy, and I need a name for him. And within, you know, a couple of hours, I had all kinds of names to pick from. So I picked a first name, and then I picked a name that I thought could be his last name. And then I posted it, and I haven't had anybody say, oh, darn. But you know what? When they want their name picked, they'll be the first ones to post the next time. So
I love it. I love it. That's a great idea. What about book titles? How do you come up with your book titles?
Well, you know, in learning more and more about branding, I try to have something that's similar. So in my Rolling Thunder series, every book has the word moving in it. It's moving to love, moving to hope, moving to forever, moving to desire, moving to you. And that's just to keep the brand and the consistency. The same with designing Samantha's Love. That came from Samantha is the main character, and Grayson Kincaid, my hero, is an architect, so he would be a designer. So I have an element of what the hero's profession is in that series. The next one is securing Kira's love, and he's a security specialist. And the third one in that series, which is going to be down the road a little bit is engineering Jesse's love, and that's because he's an engineer.
Fantastic. Very clever and very smart of you. I want to kind of move away from books just for a minute because something that you're very proud of and that you do a lot of fundraising for is you come from a family of veterans, of military veterans. Your grandfather, your father, your brother, your two sons, and a daughter-in-law are all military people. I have to say thank you, and God bless your family. Will you tell me a little bit about them, please?
Absolutely. Well, my grandfather was served in the Army for many, many years, and my father followed him into the Army. And he was only in the Army for about 2 or 3 years. I can't remember how long he was. It wasn't the life for him, I guess. But when my brother graduated high school, he joined the Air Force. And I'm grateful that they didn't have to see any conflict. You know, that for them it was peacetime service, and that's certainly fine. But then as my children started to grow, my oldest son, Zach, wanted to be a Marine. He always wanted to be a Marine. From little on, he would draw pictures of him in a uniform. And when he was able to, he enlisted. And that was right before, I think it was about a year before 9/11. And when 9/11 happened, we just knew that that was going to be, he was going to have to go. And he did. He was deployed to Iraq, and he was there for several months. And I'm grateful that he came home safe and sound. He's home now, and he's out of the Marines now, but he's safe. And then our youngest son wanted to go into the Army, and so he served. And at the time, he was engaged to his now wife, so they went in on the buddy system. They both served. She wasn't deployed. He was, and he spent 9 months in Afghanistan. And again, I'm so grateful that he was able to come home in one piece. And he still is a reservist now. He's just re-upped for his second time now, and he's the Army National Guard right now.
Wow, that's a lot for a mom, a granddaughter, a daughter, and a sister to take on. And you also donate part. I know that you were part of a group that donated proceeds from a book to a military nonprofit agency. Is that true?
Yes, we just. I'm just getting ready to send the check out. Actually, we wound everything up, and so we published. There was 12 of us authors, and we put our books together for a box set. We named it Duty, Honor, and Love. And all the proceeds, and I'm proud to say that we've earned $4,300 that we'll be donating to the Semper Fi Fund.
Oh,
which
fabulous.
Is a great organization.
I have other authors. Yeah, I have other authors who also contribute to Semper Fi. So on behalf of us, thank you so much for doing that. What a wonderful thing. And anytime we can help you support those and you know, send out word about it, please let me know. I'd love to.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit I want to take a little break first, and then we're going to talk about your writing process. I am speaking to PJ Fiala, whose books are just so fun. She writes books that are so interesting because a lot of them have to do with her real life in kind of a roundabout way. She and her husband love to ride Harley Davidson motorcycles. They travel around quite a bit. And so she writes the Romance on Wheels series, which is we're going to talk about that too. In the meantime, if you'd like to say hello to Patty, Patty's giving away some books, and so am I. You may give us a call at 347-633-9609. Please give us a ring. And first one to call in is, you know, first few people are winning books. PJ, when you sit down to write, I know you travel a bit. Do you write while you're traveling also versus being home and writing only?
I write in my head while we travel. And as I have my own motorcycle, but as I've gotten older and from this writing process, my hands, I'm struggling with my hands. So I can't hold the handle grip on a bike for long periods of time. So when we're going on our longer trip, I sit on the back, and I find that that's the most beautiful time for me to just sit and look at the land going by me and flesh out my characters and flesh out my story. And actually, my Rolling Thunder book, Moving to You, I wrote that whole book in my head while we were on our trip to Sturgis 2 years ago.
You're not the first author who's told me that she writes the book in her head first. And I will tell you that it happens more often with women writers than it does with men writers. I don't know why that is. Yeah, it's fascinating to me. And then you go and you sit down and you write. When you do the physical writing, do you have to be home? Do you have to be in a quiet place? Does it matter? What is your writing process like?
I always take my laptop with me, even on the motorcycle. When we stop, at the end of the day, if there's something that I'm really afraid I'm going to forget, I'll just type it down in a note real fast. When I have time, and morning seems to work the best before we get up and get rolling. I can get up early. I wake up every morning at 4:30 anyway. So I can get up while my husband's sleeping and everyone else is sleeping if we're with a group, and I'll just take my laptop and go sit somewhere, and I can plug out a couple chapters and get the story kind of moving forward for me while we're traveling. And I feel panicky if I don't do that.
Really? How often are you on the road nowadays?
This year is going to be a lot. I'm doing three book signings. Milwaukee is a big one. That's the end of April. And then I'll be doing, in June, we're going out to Deadwood, and we're doing Wild Deadwood Reads. And then in September, October, we're doing Toledo, Ohio. And we'll be taking the motorcycle, and we're going to be doing, especially for Deadwood, we're going to actually be doing sponsoring a bike ride while we're out there.
How fun. How fun.
Plus,
for you.
We have a group, and we're going
what
to Colorado for biking.
What a great way to kind of commune with nature, to spend time with your husband, to do what you love doing, and to enjoy the ride all along, too. It just sounds perfect. It sounds perfect.
It is perfect, yeah.
What is the downside to riding like that?
To riding motorcycle or writing a book like that?
Well, either. What is the downside to that being your writing process?
Oh, I think the only downside for me is if I'm really afraid, if we're a long way away from where we're stopping for the night and I have something in my head, I'm afraid I'm going to lose it, then I kind of get like a loop going in my head so that I remember it. That for me kind of, it stops the whole process then, you know, because I can't forget. But as soon as we stop somewhere, the nice thing is with iPhones, you can record. I can go walk around the corner of a gas station and just say, you know, record what it is that I want to preserve so that I can move forward with my story. So the only thing is, if you have something that you really want to get down, you don't necessarily have the time to do it.
Right, right. Interesting. Let's take a call. Area code 267, you're live on the air. Who's this? Hello? Hello, you're live.
Oh, hello?
Very good. Yes, hi, you're live on the air. Who's this?
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Donna. I really don't know what the conversation is about. I had just logged in. I thought I was just listening. I was just wondering, are you doing readings or?
Readings? Is she doing a reading?
Yes.
Is that what you asked?
Yeah.
No, she hadn't planned to do a reading. When you're doing a radio show like this, it's really difficult to spend time talking to the author, in this case PJ Fiala, and still be able to take calls and have a conversation because we have such a limited amount of time. versus when you're sitting in front of like a group in a bookstore, and a lot of people have the book in their hand, so it's a little bit different. But PJ, I don't know, do you like to do readings?
You know, I've done a couple of them. They are so nerve-wracking. There's just something about reading out loud what you've written for people and seeing the reaction on their face that is very nerve-wracking for me.
So funny. So, you know, we on this show, we don't typically do readings. There are some shows in the network. They have flash fiction, so people are reading constantly on there. Others, it just depends on the author, truly, and if it's fiction or nonfiction. Most of the authors that are on this show are genre fiction writers.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Sorry.
You're welcome. No worries. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So, a lot of people call in, and they don't know that they're calling in on the call-in line. Because while they're waiting, the show is playing while they're waiting, so they just assume they're listening that way, which is fine.
Sure.
And not a worry. Anybody who wants to call in and talk to PJ Fiala, the number is 347-633-9609. How do you write when you're home? Now, you've talked about when you're on the road, how you write. Do you get up when everyone is sleeping at home? And I don't even know if you have people at home other than it's you and your husband, but do you still get up at 4:30 and sit down and write?
I get up at 4:30 every morning before my husband gets up, and that's when I do my marketing. So if I'm going to go out some tweets or do something. And then when I get home, I still have a part-time day job, so I'll go to work. And then when I come home from work, that's writing time for me. So I try to get in. I'd love to get like 1,000 words a day written. I don't always succeed at doing that. Some days more, some days less, but I do write every day.
Wonderful. Do you get up that early because of your formative years as a teenager on a farm? Or do you naturally have you always gotten up at that hour?
No. I would love to not get up that hour. I'm just afraid I won't have enough time to do everything.
Okay. I understand that. I understand the inclination. There, you know, I don't get up at 4:30, but 5:30. So I understand that, and it's a pretty long day. After a while, let's talk about some other things. What kind of jobs have you done before you became a published writer?
Gosh, I have just done so many jobs. I've floated around from waitressing to just many retail jobs, and then I went to beauty school and I worked behind the chair. I was a hairstylist for more than 20 years. We owned our own hair salons, and that just gets to be, first of all, hard on the body, and second of all, I'm kind of one of those people that I'm creative, but I can get bored real fast. And doing hair after a while for me ended up being just listening to people drone on and on and on about all their problems. I got to the point where I couldn't do that anymore. So
I understand
back to college. Yeah, you know, I went back to college and I got my paralegal degree, and then I went on to get my bachelor's degree in human resources management. And actually, that's what my part-time job is now. I'm a paralegal. We work in employment law and real estate law, and so I had a variety of jobs, but the writing is what I'm hoping to finish my life with.
How fun is that? You know, so I oftentimes ask writers, in an alternate universe, if you could do anything in the whole world other than be a writer, what would it be?
I think for me, I would have been an attorney.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know why.
What, besides riding your Harleys and hanging with your family and writing, what do you like to do for fun?
I paint. I paint on oil. I do oil painting. Anything crafty. I just enjoy making things or doing things Something especially like the instant gratification, something that you can see that you've started and completed in one sitting. My daughter-in-law and I do craft days. So we'll sit down, like, what are we doing for our next craft day? One day we made wreaths. One day we made cookies. We just do different things just to kind of keep those creative juices flowing.
You're very creative. You have a lot of different creative outlets, so that's wonderful. For you. Fantastic. What kind of books do you like to read?
I like reading steamy romances, character-heavy, character-driven romances. I'm reading Kristen Ashley right now. I just love her books.
Mm-hmm. How fun. Who's not? And that's who you're reading. Do you ever read out of your genre?
I do a little bit. I've read being an indie author, I've met a lot of indie authors, and so I've had the opportunity to read many different books. And it really is enlightening. It kind of brings you a whole different perspective on things. And so
mm-hmm.
I've read so many different things that I never would have dreamed I would have read and enjoyed.
Now, I want to go back to writing because there are a couple interesting things happening with you. One of them is you are a contributor to Erin Nicholas's Kindle Worlds. And for those who are not familiar with Kindle Worlds, will you explain exactly what it is and tell us about Sapphire Falls?
There are authors who have written stories in worlds that they've made up, and Sapphire Falls is one of those. And Amazon, Kindle, has approached these authors and asked to license those worlds, and then they asked other authors to write in them. And Erin's, my experience with Erin was a very positive, very good experience because she's very active in her world. Some authors aren't as active anymore, but we had, she has a story Bible, so you know where all the, if you haven't read every single book in Sapphire Falls, you know what the town is all about. And she has created this beautiful little world in Sapphire Falls, which is in Nebraska. And many authors have written their own stories based in Sapphire Falls, and I was honored to be one of those authors.
I think it's marvelous. It's so wonderful that you do that. Just congratulations. What a really cool thing. I mean, I know a lot of authors who write in Kindle Worlds, and it's really a lot of fun because you don't have to be an author to write a book for Kindle Worlds. And so it's amazing how much stuff you do, because not only that, you have soon to be released your own kind of version of a Kindle Worlds, except it's called Chandler County. And I love the tagline for this because it's where the unbridled spirit of romance roams. It is such an evocative title. Congratulations. Will you tell us about Chandler County and what it entails?
Sure. Thank you. Well, I have a lot of family in Kentucky, and so Kentucky holds a fond place in my heart, and we go back every year and visit my family down there, and I just think it's such a beautiful area, and I've always wanted to write a story in Chandler County or in Kentucky. And so when I was writing for Erin Sapphire Falls, I decided that my characters would eventually, at the end of my story, leave Sapphire Falls and then go to Kentucky and start their own security business, and then that's where Chandler County resides. It's halfway between Lexington and Louisville, and I've created this world with a friend, Stephanie Tullis, and so the two of us together decided to create this world and then invite other authors to write in it. And so the first grouping of releases will be April and May, right around the time the Kentucky Derby. And actually all of them, the Belmont and the Preakness also, right in horse race season, we'll be writing the first releases. And, of course, with the location of Chandler County being between Lexington and Louisville, the Kentucky Derby has a strong theme
perfect
in this town. So
it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So I want to share with everyone some of the authors and the name, the titles of the books. As PJ said, Stephanie Tullis was her collaborator on this project. So her book is called Missing Pieces, and then PJ's book is called Missing the Point. After that, Jackie Bigger also joins the group, and her book is called Missing, The Lady Said No. Tracy Carlisle also writes in the Chandler County world. Her book is called Missing Destiny. Then Valerie Clarizio is writing a book, and hers is Missing the Crown Jewels, which I love. Such a play on words. And Debbie White also is the last author in this initial group, and her book is called The Missing Ingredient. I'm also very, very honored to say that all the authors are going to be on this program together. So it will be a lot of fun to be discussing the book launch when it comes up. I don't have the exact date in front of me, but I think it's on Wednesday, April 26th. And so it'll be just a couple weeks after release, and we'll start to get feedback. So that should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. PJ Fiala, you are such an interesting lady with so many different things going on in your writing world. I'm so glad you took time out of your busy schedule to come and talk to me tonight on Authors on the Air. I have a favor, though. At the end of my show, I like to do Final Five, which is five quick questions and five quick answers. Are you game to play?
You bet.
Okay, because we also call it Stump the Author, so I just thought I'd say that. So, what kind of music do you like to listen to, either when you're writing or reading or writing, R-I-D-I-N-G, instead of writing? What is your favorite kind of music?
We listen to rock and roll.
All right, baby. I love it. What color is your Harley?
Right now I'm riding a V-Rod. It's a 100th anniversary V-Rod, so it's stainless steel looking.
God, that'll be awesome. I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. There's a whole – Southwest Florida has a huge, huge, huge Harley population. I mean, people – there are a bunch of clubs, there are just a bunch of, you know, single riders and all. Six Bend Harley is right down the street from me. It used to be down the other side of the street from me. It's a really amazing Harley community and motorcycle community in general, where the two biggest cities in the county have bike nights. We actually have bike nights on the first Friday and Saturday of each month. During season, so not during the summer, it's just too hot, but so I'm kind of envious of you. You went to Sturgis, so did you go to Sturgis for the anniversary of Harley? Did you go on a ride up there with the 500,000 other Harley riders across the country?
We did. We went with a group. We had a big group of us, and we went just at the tail end of Sturgis because we wanted to kind of miss some of the heavy population, and then we went on to know past Sturgis after 3 days, and we went out to Wyoming then. But I wanted to get there for the 75th anniversary just because it was a special year.
Absolutely. It is amazing traveling on the back of or traveling by motorcycle, isn't it?
It is.
To the country?
It is. Everywhere we stop, people ask us questions, and they want to know where we've been, and where are we going, and what are we doing, and it's a feeling like no other. It's really amazing.
I would imagine. Where is a bucket list location for you? Where do you want to go?
I really want to go to Tuscany in Italy.
You don't want to go. You don't want to take a motorcycle over there or rent a motorcycle. You want to just go to Tuscany and kick back and relax, like rent a car, ride a horse,
drink wine,
take a train.
Drink a lot of wine.
Okay, good for you.
I just want to see
wonderful.
It, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Okay, so I know that when you and I first talked about putting this show together, we kind of got confused on a day because not through any fault of our own, there was an extra Y chromosome involved in that. And you punished him by making him vacuum the floor, and you then took a picture and showed it to me, which I thought was hysterical. So Mr. PJ Fiala and I have decided to write a book about your life. What are we going to title it?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. What are you going to title a book about me? Oh, my gosh. It'd probably be Chaos. She's
okay,
all over the place.
There you go. There you go. There you go. That is the name of the book. Tell everyone where we can find you, please.
My website is pjfiala.com. That's kind of my home base. Everything I'm doing is there on that website. I blog regularly. I tell stories about my family and what we're eating and what we're doing. That's kind of my home base. I'm also on Facebook. PJ Fiala 1 is my author page. And if you're so inclined, I have a reader group that we help me name characters and we play games and we give away prizes. And that's called PJ Fiala's Road Queens. And we're always happy to have anyone join us. Pinterest, Twitter, I'm on Twitter, P. Fiala. I have large Twitter following, so more the merrier.
There you go. PJ Fiala and all the different series in your books, I'm so happy that you finally were able to come on and that we could coordinate a really good date. Thank you so much for being with me, and I look forward to talking to you again with your co-authors for Chandler County at the end of April. I hope you have
a delightful
March. Thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun. I hope people call in and get some books, and thank you so much.
I hope they do, too. But, well, listen, it's been a pleasure. And, you know, we talked before the show. Think about maybe you want to be the, maybe you want to host when the other ladies come on, yeah? Well, think
That'd
about
be
that,
awesome.
Okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, thanks so much. Thank you, PJ Fiala, a best-selling author, Romance on Wheels, and the upcoming Chandler County. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. You
too.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye. And thanks for listening. I'll be back at 9 o'clock with writer E.A. Cook. Have a good one. Thank you, Mom and Dad.